Let's take our Bibles once again. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50. I'm going to be in Isaiah 50. I'm going to make a few comments and look at a couple of scriptures before. But Isaiah chapter 50, the entire chapter, and then the first verse of chapter 51. Man, by nature, is always ready. He's ever ready to lay the blame for his rebellion on another. And ultimately to lay it on God himself. That's man by nature. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody they don't see themselves as guilty. Remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam rebelled against God, Eve, she was beguiled, she was fooled. Adam did what he did, his eyes wide open. Scripture says, Genesis chapter 3, verses 11, after he had eaten. Scripture says in verse 11, he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Listen to the marvel of God's command for rejoicing, of what we have. Now here we are by nature, we're going to blame everybody else. We're going to blame God. But listen, just back in Isaiah, I'm going to turn over and look at Isaiah 49 verse 13 for a second. Listen to the great reason for rejoicing. Isaiah 49:13, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, break forth into singing, O mountains, because the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." Now, we've got great reason, God's people do, to rejoice. Whenever the Lord was born, God Almighty made flesh, Christ made flesh. The scripture says the angels, it was the heavens were ringing with the, "There is this day in the city of David, the Savior, which is born, Christ Jesus the Lord." Mankind has reason to rejoice. There is a Savior. And he's come to save his people from their sins. We've got great reason. But I want you to look now. I just read in Isaiah 49:13 of the great reason for rejoicing, because the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But listen to man's blame. Look at verse 14 of Isaiah 49. "But Zion..." Now, you know who Zion is? That's the church. That's God's people. "Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Now what an accusation. How horrible. But now, before we lay too much blame on you know, them, remember that them right there is us. This is us. And we're ever ready to blame God. Whatever they were going through the affliction of Babylon, but that Israel was actually a picture, remember this, of God's people. We're in this world. And we're in a world of trials and affliction, a world that hates us. And we are ever ready. Something comes our way, and we're ever ready. Though we won't say it outwardly, but inwardly. Why has the Lord put me under this? Why am I going through what I'm going through? The Lord, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Oh, but listen to the Lord's answer. Look at verse 15 to 17. Here's the Lord's answer. Now this is his answer to us now. Listen, whenever we start finding fault, somebody says, oh, I never find fault with God. Who are we kidding? Hear what the Lord. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Not the Lord's forsaken me. He forgot me. The Lord said, a woman may forget her sucking child. A woman may not care for. Not just merely that, well, I just forgot. No, to not be mindful towards, to not care as she should, to not do that which would be the best for that child. A woman may forget to have compassion on the son of her womb, but the Lord said, I will not forget you. I will ever have you. Your walls, is he speaking of heavenly Jerusalem and speaking of her as an enclosed city engraved on my house. You are always in my sight. That's what he's saying. So in the midst of Zion's complaint, you forsook me. You left me out here to dry. You put me out to pasture. You've not done that which you said you were going to do. With that in mind, now I want you to look now. Isaiah chapter 50. And in the midst of her complaints now, let's see what the Spirit of God has to say of the Lord's speech to us. All right, Isaiah 50 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities have you sold yourself. For your iniquities and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Now here the Lord clearly sets forth the relationship that he has with Zion, with the bride. She's the mother, she's the wife, he's the husband, in answer to her complaint about him being unfaithful. And he asked this question, where is the bill of divorcement that I gave you? Now, to really understand what that means right there, hold your place and turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy 24. Where is the bill of divorcement? Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 and 2. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of the house. And when she is departed out of the house, she may go and be another man's wife. Now, let me tell you what a bill of divorcement was. It was not a bill of divorcement for her being unfaithful, of her committing adultery. That wasn't what it was. It says, if a man found some uncleanness in her, all it means with that word uncleanness is that there's just something about her that grates on him. I just don't like you. I don't like your ways. I don't like your food. I don't like your housekeeping. I just don't like you. There's something about it. It wasn't for adultery. Because if it was for adultery, I'm going to tell you something. The law took care of her. And she was stoned. So it wasn't that. It was that there was something about her that was just disagreeable. Something that just caused him to not want to be with her anymore. I'm telling you, it's called irreconcilable differences. I just don't like you. I don't like you anymore. You know, no. He said, let me ask you something. Where you've accused me of forgetting you, putting you out, you know, being unfaithful, where is the bill of divorcement that I wrote you? Now listen now. The bill of divorcement that Moses gave because of the hardness of their hearts, the Lord said it was never like that. But a man, woman, let her leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. The Lord says in Malachi 2:16, I hate putting away. I hate it. Where is the bill of divorcement? Do you know that with a bill of divorcement, the blame was totally on the man? The woman didn't write the bill of divorcement. Only the man could write it. And it's because he just didn't want to be with her anymore. So the man was totally to blame. The Lord said, you showed me where I was totally to blame for putting you away. You showed me that. Then he asked another question. He said, now, where is the bill of divorcement? Or of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? And let me just read this for you. It's in the book of Nehemiah. I'll just read Nehemiah 5, verses 1 to 5. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons, our daughters are many, and therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. And some also there were that said, what, we've mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, our houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that says, we borrowed money for the king's tribute and that upon our lands and our vineyards, and now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons, our daughters to be servants. Some of our daughters are brought into bondage already, neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. And what was happening was, if someone came into dire straits, and they're hungry. We got a famine. I got mortgage up to here, and I can't afford it. They could sell their land. They could sell their kids. Put them into bondage. No, they can be your servants. Okay, take them. That's all I got. The Lord said back in Isaiah 50, which of my creditors is it to whom I sold you? Where is the bill of divorcement, and to which of the creditors? Who did I owe? Who did I owe and have to sell you out? Who is it? No. Look at Isaiah 59. No, here's the problem. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. It's not removed, not cut off, not hindered. that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins has hid his face from you that he will not hear. Man can lay the blame on no one but himself. The wife that you gave me, she's the reason that I ate. No, the serpent beguiled me. No, let me tell you what our problem is. It's us. We're the problem. Here's the problem right here. And let's just go ahead and every time, you know, instead of looking at somebody else, I tell you, look at them. Look, no, right here. I'm the problem. Man, by nature, has built that wall of separation between him and God. And without God's law being satisfied, I'm going to tell you something. That debt, until it's paid, I'm going to tell, man's going to die. He's going to die separated from God. But where's the bill of divorce? Who did I owe? You know, who did I? Where can you prove to me? You know, the scripture says that man separated himself from Almighty God. The scripture declares in Hebrews 1:1-2, God sends prophets, God sent the Lord Jesus, and we would not hear. The scripture says he came into his own. The world was made by him, the world knew him not, and his own received him not. No, we're the problem. We're the problem. Verse 3, Isaiah 50. He said, I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering. I clothe the heavens. Whenever the children of Israel were in Egypt, Almighty God sent the plagues, and he sent the, one of the plagues was darkness. Almighty God, in Exodus chapter 10, Exodus 10, verse 21-23. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which it may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. All the children of Israel though had light in their dwellings. What the Lord said, where am I short in being able to deliver you? You're the problem. We're the problem. We're the one. Lord says, I clothe the heavens with blackness. Look back in verse 2, I forgot to look at this right here. The latter part, he said, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. Did he not do that when the children of Israel went across? I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there's no water. What was it? It was blood. There ain't any water in it. It was blood there. Die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth. And then all of these the reasons that God says, it's not me, it's you. You've left. I didn't put you away. You put me away. But oh, in the mercy of Almighty God. Now here's the backdrop of our problem. We're the problem. But I want you to listen to the next few verses of the glorious mercy of Almighty God to send the Lord Jesus into this world. Here the Lord is speaking. This is, you know, Isaiah penned these words, but I'm telling you, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see what I'm saying. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. The Lord God, he says, has given me that tongue of knowledge and wisdom, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. God's people blame God. God said, you're the problem, but listen to the solution. Listen, here's the Lord revealing to Zion that he alone, in his words through his prophets, are the words that are heard by his people with power and persuasion, clarity to their comfort. We are the problem. And there's not a believer in here that won't admit it. I am the problem. But Lord, Would you speak to me? Lord, teach me something. Lord, I am the rebellious one. And only, Lord, in you can I find acceptance with God. Lord, tell me what you've done on my behalf. Tell me of the righteousness that you've earned for me and clothe me in it. The Lord says he has given me the tongue. Here's the submissive servant of Jehovah. This is God Almighty humbling himself and making himself of no reputation. Listen to this. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. It just amazes me when I read of the humility of Christ. And this is the Lord who absolutely, as I just said, you talk about humility. Here's what he says. God the Father wakes me up every morning. As Almighty God, he never sleeps. He never sleeps. But as the man, Christ Jesus, he was weary. I know he was asleep in the boat. One time, the disciples, they were out there in the middle of the storm, and they woke him up. He was asleep. And they said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care? He says, he wakeneth me morning by morning, and he wakeneth my ear to hear. As the learned, he learned obedience in that which he suffered. The Lord himself was awakened by the Father and eminently prepared of God to hear what his Father had to say. John 14:23. We see this. I tell you, the humanity of Christ is to me as glorious as the deity of Christ. I mean, how do you separate this? The Lord said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Here's God, man. He said, he wakes me up. He wakes my ear up that I might hear. John 14. The Lord speaking. I'm so thankful that you want to have some hope here. This is what's expected of us: to be right before God, holy, accepted. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, who did always only those things that pleased the Father. And he said, he wakes me up every morning and wakes my ear up every morning. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. It's not his apart from the Father. They're one. They're one God. And as a submissive servant, he said, he wakes me up every morning. Wakes my ear up every morning. Look at verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned back. Now here, not only is he saying that he hears, he opens his ears to hear, but also he's speaking of that blessed sign that we find in Exodus 21. I'll read this to you. Exodus chapter 21. When there was a servant, you know this story. If there was a servant, loved his master, and the time of his service was over, and he could go free. But if he chose to stay with his master, it was a special sign. Take it, and he'd take the earlobe, and he'd put it on a doorpost, and he'd take an awl, and he'd bore a hole right there in his ear. Listen, Exodus 21, verse 5 and 6. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall bring him to the door, or to the doorpost. His master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. The Lord says back in Isaiah 50, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, because as his servant, I serve him forever. I wasn't rebellious. I didn't turn my back. I did that which pleased him. I wasn't rebellious toward his word, his command, his call. I gave, verse 6 and 7, how obedient. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. Whenever he stood before Pilate, men falsely accused him, mistreated him. Scripture says he opened not his word, his mouth. He stood there with all the insults, and he set his face firmly toward the cross. Zion has accused him of forsaking. And he said, this is what I did for you. This is what I did. You that falsely accused me, writing a bill of divorce, selling you out. No. He came into this world, submitted himself, made of a woman, made under the law, and learned obedience in that he suffered. He experienced it. He opened my ear. I gave my back to the smiters. My cheek. They pulled off his beard, cleared their throats, and spit in his face. The scripture says in verse 8, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Those that accuse God of being unfaithful, the Lord Jesus says, he's justified me. As I just said a moment ago, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He has just, men abused him, but God was his help. And he was justified, I can tell you this, not only by the voice of his Father from heaven, but 3 days after he was crucified, how did God justify him? He was raised from the dead. God raised him. Almighty God brought him out publicly, set him forth. He said, I have the favor of the Father, and the sheep shall be redeemed. My people shall. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Who will oppose me? Is what he said. God has justified me. What could these who have nothing but death and resentment on their minds toward me, what can they do? The everlasting will of the Father, that's going to be done. I have finished the work that God has given me to do. I have finished. I have stood as your surety. And you that accuse me of being unfaithful to you, I never left you. I never forsook you. Who will stand? Who will contend? Then he says, let's stand together. Now this is an unusual passage right here. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. What he's saying is, I challenge you. I challenge to all that oppose me. I challenge all of my adversaries. You come and stand before me. Stand face to face with me, your judge. And let's engage. Verse 9, behold, the Lord will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them all up. But then the Lord gives in these last couple of verses, in the 50th chapter, verse 10, verse 11, he gives a word of encouragement to his people and a warning to those that will not have this man to rule over them. Listen to the word of encouragement. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now you have to remember what they accused him of. They were in bondage. They were, you know, all the commentators seem to indicate this is why they were in Babylon, in captivity. You know, in that bondage and suppressed and, you know, accused God of forsaking them. And so he said, now for a word of encouragement. Here, the Lord Jesus, having the tongue of the learned, he gives a word of encouragement to those who actually fear him and reverence him. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Who is among you that reverences the Lord in his holy name? He speaks to those that walk really as his children. He's speaking to his bride. He comforts them. He says, you that are actually walking in darkness and have no light, that is, you're walking in bondage, and I do know where you are. I put you there as chastisement because I love you and I'm going to teach you. You that are walking not in spiritual darkness, when it says that walketh in darkness and hath no light, he's talking about those that can't find where are you. Why is it that I'm going through what I'm going through? How often do we find ourselves in that position? You that walk in darkness and don't know the mind of the Lord for right now. That's what he's saying. He's talking, I mean, he can't be saying that they don't know him, because he does. Because you that actually fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's the major part of wisdom. That obey the voice of his servant, that walk in dark and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. When we don't know where to go, what is the word of encouragement? Let him trust in the Lord. Let him stay upon his God. And then that word of warning, verse 11, to those that will not have this man to rule over them, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks and walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you've kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. Now here's the word of warning. What an awful end to those who have kindled a fire of their own making. A fire to keep them secure and warm spiritually, safe from predators. I'm going to stand next to my fire that I've committed. Satan will never get to me. World won't get to me. I can protect myself. I'll build my own fire. I have a fire of my kindling to light my way and protect me from all harm. And you reject the light himself? Almighty God, when Israel left Egypt, what did the Lord provide for them? A pillar of fire at night, a pillar of cloud by day. And God guided them. He said, you that kindle your own fire, you walk about in your own sparks, find all your comfort in the light that you made and in the warmth that you kindled, this shall you have of my hand. you're going to die in sorrow. You're going to die in misery. But I have to go into the first verse of this next chapter. And here I'll stop. Hearken to me. Ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. And to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Hearken to me in the preaching of the gospel. I cannot say this enough. Make much of hearing the gospel preached. Why? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that follow after Christ and his righteousness, God's righteousness, not mine, but his. Hearken to me. Hearken to the message from me. I who chose you, I who redeemed you, I who called you by grace, I who keeps you by my power. Look to me. Look to me for all of your help, all of your security. Look to the rock. This is so precious. Look unto the rock. Look to the refuge whence ye are hewn, that is, quarried. Look unto me from which you were made and taken. And to the hole of the pit, I want you to remember where we all came from. Look unto him who alone is our haven. And don't ever forget where you came from. Look to the hole of the pit, the cistern. That's what that means. It says the hole of the pit. It means the dungeon or the cistern from whence you are digged. That is picked out or put out is what it is, from which you were digged. Look to Christ. You that accused me of being unfaithful to you. Where's the bill of divorcement that I gave you? When did I ever sell you out because I owed somebody? Is my hand unable to deliver? I parted the sea for you. I clothed Egypt in absolute darkness and gave you light. I turned the river into blood. The fish stunk because they died. I pulled you out. I came into this world and pleased the Father. I humbled myself. I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my beard to those that plucked it off. They spit in my face. I humbled myself and I finished the work. Hearken to me. Hearken to me. Come to me. Remember the rock from which you've been hewn. Where God put you in me. Kept you in me. And for all that will desire to build their own fire, find your security in your own fire, you're going to lay down in misery. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Oh, how I thank God for mercy. Mercy. Mercy is for rebellious sinners. That's what mercy is for. That's mercy. Lord, have mercy on me for Christ's sake.